This week we talked about creation, corruption, and beyond. A lot of people, when they read the Bible, maybe think of it as just a random collection of stories. And one of the great things about VBS and what we did this year is we looked at seven key words of seven important things that happened in Scripture to kind of see the big picture, the big story from creation in Genesis all the way to the end in Revelation. And so you can follow along in the bulletin. They're listed here if you'd like to, or just pay attention, whatever works best for you. But we see that the Bible is not just a random collection of stories, and it's also not just a list of this is what you do to be good. In fact, it is telling us why we are here, why we exist. It tells us what's wrong with this world. It tells us where we're going, and it tells us the solution to our problems and how everything ends up at the end. So the first thing that we looked at this week, and these are seven C words that are picked out. There's more in the Bible than this, but these are seven really helpful words. And the first is creation. See, that God created, and it was good. You see, right from the beginning of Scripture, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God created everything we see, everything that exists, didn't come into being by chance. It didn't just pop itself into existence. And it's not just random, it's designed by God, created by God, and therefore created with a purpose. And God's purpose that he has for us is to know him and to glorify him. And when you know God and you can glorify him, you find joy in God, and that's how you also bring him glory. So it's the best thing for us. I mean, God didn't need to create. God existed forever as the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there was so much joy and love within the Trinity that he didn't need to create, but he wanted to share that joy and share that love with beings outside of himself. So he created, and in the beginning, everything was good. Everything was purpose, was perfect. You don't see the evil, you don't see the sickness, the death, and everything that we see in the world now. But something changed. Unfortunately, something happened. It didn't take God by surprise. He knew this, but something happened that changed things, and we refer to it as the fall. So by Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and they're told they can eat from any tree in the garden, but not one. And God clearly told them this, and what do? They're tempted by the devil, and they disobey God and do exactly what he told them not to do. So we get to our second C word, which is corruption, that everyone has sinned. So Adam, the first human being, was our representative. He was the team captain for the whole human race. And so when he sinned, along with Eve, his wife, it plunged us all into sin. And it changed things. It changed this world from being this good world that existed before to one that was corrupt, where things were falling apart, where things go bad. One of the verses we looked at this week for VBS was Psalm 14:3. They have all turned aside. That means all of us. It's not just one or two of us. It's not the really bad people. We've all turned aside. Instead of following God, we've done our own thing. Together, they have become corrupt. And there's none who does good, not even one. Not even one. Now, we're corrupt. Think about what that means. You know, when they were trying to catch the gorilla that day, we had some bananas that they used for bait for the gorilla. Remember that? And in the morning, when those bananas were brought up, they were yellow bananas. But in just the time of VBS being left up here, by the time they were up there for the gorilla, they were black. And that's because that's what happens to things. Things start to decay. They start to go bad. And if those bananas were still on the tree, they'd still be good. They'd still be yellow. But once you get disconnected from that source of life, things start to decay. There starts to be death. There starts to be corruption. And that's what happened for mankind once we got disconnected from God, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. It disconnected us, and now there was death in this world. And we weren't originally meant to die, but because of that, now we do. We die, we get sick, there's disease, there's dysfunction, there's all these different things that happen because the world has been changed because of sin. And it started with Adam and Eve, and we come into this world accountable for their sin too, and with our hearts pointed in the wrong direction. But we realize we can't just say, well, that's just them and not us, because we sin too. We sin all the time. If you measure yourself against what God says, we find that there's constantly, whether it's in our thoughts or in our deeds, we're either doing things that God said, don't do that, or we're not doing what we should do. We should be bringing God glory every day, and we don't do that. We don't put him first. And so another great verse to look at is Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I think this is such an important thing to remember, that it's not just some. It's every single person. That includes me. That includes whoever here is the most squeaky clean person. And includes whoever, every single one of us. Grandparents, kids, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Think of God's perfection. We don't measure up to that. I like to explain it this way. Imagine that there was a contest to see who could jump across Lake Michigan. Okay, think of big Lake Michigan. It's big, you can't see the other side. And if there was this contest to see who could jump across Lake Michigan, and they offered $1 million to whoever could jump across. Imagine they have this contest, it's over by the shore, and there's all these people that show up. There's people that are regular people because they want their shot at $1 million. You just got to jump across Lake Michigan. There's people that are, you got people that are like Olympic athletes coming because they're going to jump across Lake Michigan and to win $1 million. There's people that could barely jump and they're there to do this. And so it's $1 million that nobody could do it. That's the thing. Nobody could do it. We'd all fall.
I could do that.
CJ, not now. I'm in the middle of a message.
No.
The point is that
are you offering
nobody at all could. What's that?
Are you offering $1 million?
It's if you could jump across Lake Michigan.
That'd be easy.
You can't jump across Lake Michigan.
No.
I'm saying if there was $1 million offered for this, and most of people would come.
I could do anything for $1 million. Jungle Jim doesn't pay me very well.
No, you couldn't jump across Lake Michigan for $1 million. You think you could?
You see these nice legs? I could make it to Lake Michigans.
You couldn't even jump across Gun Lake.
Gun Lake?
Okay.
Gun Lake's itty bitty. I could make it across.
No, it's
there.
Like
no sweat.
You couldn't for $1 million. Well, what's good? Okay.
See, these guys know they could do it.
Okay, for $1 million. Okay, yeah. I'll say I will. Okay, deacons, cover your ears. I will offer $1 million if you think you can jump across just Gun Lake.
Oh yeah.
Gun Lake. You
easy
think,
peasy.
Seriously,
guys,
$1 million.
Yeah.
I am willing to wager $1 million of church money. If you can jump, there's no way you can do it.
Let's go now.
Oh, okay. You want to settle this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to show you. You're nuts. There's no. Okay, come on. Camera crew, come on. Follow us. We're going to. There's no way you can jump across Gun Lake.
This
for
is
going to
be
dollars.
Awesome. I'm going to miss so much.
This can't happen.
Money.
Ridiculous to think you could do this. There's no chance.
New pair of shoes.
It'll be easy if I not want to get that money.
Wow, I really thought that would have taken longer. All right, guys, gather around here. Want to make sure that we go over the rules for this, so we're very clear on this. I have promised $1 million if you can jump across Gun Lake in one jump. It has to be just one jump, and you can't touch the water, and $1 million. Who's going to go first?
I am.
You're going to go first? Okay. So what is your name?
I'm CJ Smith.
Okay, and what makes you think that you can get across Gun Lake here in one jump?
God has given me these beautiful legs that are just going to let me leap across the water.
All right, let's see how this works.
No one's gonna beat that! Woo! Victory!
All right, we've had our first contestant, and, well, didn't make it across quite yet. So what's your name?
Harper.
All right, Harper, so you think you can do better than CJ?
Absolutely.
All right, let's see what you got.
I got him for sure.
All right, so next up, who do we got here?
My name is Kale.
All right, Kale, so what's gonna be your technique to try and get across Gun Lake?
I'm gonna swim.
Yeah, Kale, you can't swim. That's against the rules. You have to jump and not hit the water.
Well, I can swim through the air. People do that, right?
You're gonna air swim.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how this works out. All right, we still got a few more contestants, and who do we have here next?
I'm Zane.
Hey, Zane. All right, so what is your plan here for you to get across Gun Lake?
I have a sequence of flotation devices and this massive life jacket on my back, and I'm going to skim across the water.
Okay,
I'm
never gonna
touch it.
You're never gonna touch the water, but you're gonna try and. Okay, we'll let you give her a shot.
Awesome.
All right, next up we got Cassie. Ready to go? Here. Go for it!
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, we've had five contestants go so far, and we have one left. So, sir, what is your name?
My name is Jungle Jim the Third.
Jungle Jim the Third. And what is going to be your technique to jump all the way across Gun Lake?
Well, my technique is too complex, so I don't think you guys would understand it.
All right, let's see what you got. Alright, that's everyone. We will head back to the church and let you decide who won the $1 million.
I told them.
Not
all right, come up here. All right, as I said, we'll try and see who won the contest here. So how many, you guys saw the video, you saw the replays, you've examined the footage. So how many people here vote for CJ? Who thinks CJ won? All right. So we got this, I think second up was Harper. Harper went, good job. How many think Harper won? The girls, girl power. All right, then, let's see who went next. It was, I'm trying to remember, Zane? No, wait.
Zane.
Yeah, well, who thinks Zane won? All right, you got some love for Zane here. What was your name? Kale, who votes for Kale? All right, that's an enthusiastic vote here.
And who thinks Cassie won? Stay dry, at least. And who votes for Jungle Jim? All right, so you had this, some definitely went further than others, and you guys are all wet now, but here's the truth. Who actually won?
Nobody!
Because it wasn't a contest to see who could jump the furthest. It was, can you jump all the way across Gun Lake in one jump? And so even though some of them did better, okay, Harper and CJ, yeah, got a little further than the others, that doesn't matter because the rule was jumping all the way across in one jump. And none of them made it. And so deacons can be happy. The money is safe. Thank you, guys. You guys can sit down.
We're not getting paid?
Nope. Sit down. You know, wait for nothing. In fact, if you want to analyze the satellite footage, we can do this. That's the thing. Sometimes people get it in their head that in order to go to heaven, in order to be with the Lord, it's a matter of being a good person. And how can I be good? Can I be better than the next person next to me? And the reality is, God is the one we measure ourselves against. And we all fall short of Him. He is the perfect standard. He is perfect in goodness, perfect in holiness. Think about it this way. So we have a satellite footage of Gun Lake here. And so if we were analyzing their jumps from a satellite perspective, and they needed to jump all the way across Gun Lake here in order to win $1 million, we say, who actually did it, and what would this look like from the satellite? So first up, we had CJ, and we'll see how far he made it. All right, we got a dot there. He really barely, you can't even tell, didn't really even make it far off the dock. And if we analyze this and compare it with Harper, who went next, basically the same thing. And if we keep going, we look at these Kale with his air swimming technique. Oh, looks the same from that perspective. If we look at Zane, his skimming technique, oh, that's the same thing. And look at Cassie, who didn't even try. She turned around. But what does it look like from a satellite perspective? Same thing. And then finally, Jungle Jim the third, falling in backwards, and the same thing. Here's the truth that we need to get across. Kids, parents, for all of us, from God's perspective, there's really no difference. Because we compare ourselves to other people, and that can go wrong in two different ways. Some people, they look at other people, they're worse, and think, I'm pretty good. God should definitely love me or let me into heaven based on my good deeds because I'm so much better than my neighbors and these other people, and I'm definitely better than Hitler and terrible people, so I'm pretty good because I'm pretty sure God grades on a curve. But the reality is, looking from God's perspective, it's all the same. You can't even tell any difference. And if it was a matter of trying to be perfect enough to go to heaven, it's not just jumping across Gun Lake or Lake Michigan or the ocean. It'd be like jumping to the next galaxy or something like that. We all fall so short. And I want to say this also, it's an encouragement, because I bet there's some people here that think, you know what, I'm only here because my kids or my grandparents or my grandkids are here, and I don't like going to church. I feel guilty about it because you think of things in your life that you've done, that you've fallen short. Again, from God's perspective, you're basically all the same, because it's not about measuring ourselves against other people. It's measuring ourselves against God. And so the verse that we looked at is true. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is going to get to heaven by trying to be good or trying to be perfect, even with God's help. You don't say, God, help me to be a better person, and then you can let me into heaven. That's not how it works. But God loves us so much that He had to find a different way for this. So you have creation, we have corruption, and then we looked at, we'll go through some of these quickly, catastrophe and confusion. And we talked about Noah's Ark, and we talked about the Tower of Babel. And basically, these are things that communicate that God judges sin. God is a holy God, and he can't just let sin slide because he is holy. He cares about it, and it needs to be judged. He can't just let evil run free. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. You know, just like those bananas, you take them up off of the tree, and they're going to rot, and they're going to go bad. When we are separated from God, it leads to corruption in our life. It leads to death. Death is separation. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, humanity died that day. They didn't die physically that day, but they died spiritually because they were disconnected from God. And it also means that we will be separated from our body one day, that that's physical death is also a result of the fall. And eternal death, being separated from God forever and ever. So not being with him in glory, but instead having to, there's heaven and hell. And if you're not going to heaven, there's one other place. And it's the one you don't want to go to. But God loves you so much that he made a way, a possibility for people to be rescued, to be saved, to be forgiven, even really bad sinners, because we all fall short. And so we looked at Christ and the cross, and if everything before was the bad news, this is the good news, that God loved us so much that he sent his son into this world, that Jesus Christ did what we could never do, because he was fully God and became a full, genuine human being as well. That's who Jesus is. And that verse in Romans, it goes on. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If there was one person that could jump across Gun Lake, it would be Jesus. And if there's one person that could live that perfect life completely, it was Jesus, and he did live a perfect life. That's really important. Sometimes we don't think about that. Maybe you hear, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us, and that's so true, and that's so important. But he also had to live a perfect life, and that's why he lived and came down and was here for 30-some years, because he's the one person that lived a life never sinning, always doing exactly what God wanted him to do, fulfilling God's law. And not only did he die for sinners, he lived for us. He lived in our place. So that if you turn to Jesus and trust him as your Savior, that you get what says here, the free gift of eternal life that's in Christ Jesus. It's not somewhere else. There's not different options. It had to be from Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and for me. And think of what he went through doing that. He was nailed to the cross. He was killed. He took that punishment, and he took really the God's wrath and judgment upon sin upon himself for anyone that'll turn to him as their Lord and Savior. And notice it says free gift. You can't earn it. You don't earn it. If you think you can earn it, you don't have it yet. And it's also not something that just everyone automatically has. That's just not how it works. That each person needs to turn to Jesus Christ. And that means we're turning our back in our rebellion, we're coming to him and embracing him as your Lord and Savior, as the one that died on the cross for you. And one of the verses that the kids learned this week was John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so this is how we get reconnected with God. This is how we get forgiven. We get adopted into his family. That's not an automatic thing. It's offered to everyone, but it's when you turn to Jesus Christ and you trust him for who he is, the God-man, and that he died on the cross for you. He lived a perfect life for you. He died in your place, the death that you and I deserve. And we recognize that our rebellion, our sin is bad, and so we turn to him to be saved from that, trusting that this is a free gift. He gets the glory, we don't. If it was even 1% based on our good deeds, or trying hard even with his help, we could pat ourselves on the back a little bit. But it's not. It's completely by grace, which is a free gift of God. And it's received not by a ceremony, not by doing good or doing better, but by faith, which means believing in him, putting your trust in him. And that's something nobody can do for you. Kids, that's something your mom and dad can't do. They'd love to if they could. It's something that grandma and grandpa can't do for you. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ, turning to him and realizing he loved you so much he died on the cross for you. And that goes for all the adults here too, that we are all in the same boat. We are all sinners, but God loves you. And I hope that God can help you to believe that. He loves you enough that Jesus came and died for sinners. So we have this as the heart of the Bible's message, this forgiveness, reconciliation in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there, because the last C that we looked at is consummation, the end of all things, where God will defeat sin forever, where Jesus will reign forevermore, where everything will be good. The world that we see it now is not how it's going to be. And that's such a good thing. You watch the news, you see things around, you know about loved ones that are sick or hurting or hard times, to realize when Jesus comes back, he's going to make everything good again. He's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to, as it's been said, make everything sad come untrue. And this verse from Revelation says, Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And so, for those with Jesus, this is the destiny to look forward to. It's not even just restoration, because it's even better than it was at the beginning. And this is the big story of the Bible, from creation until the end, from Genesis to Revelation. You know, the Bible explains why we're here. It explains your ultimate purpose in life. We spend so much time seeking after these things in the world that cannot really satisfy. But true life is found in Jesus Christ. And I want you to believe that. And true forgiveness and a relationship with him is offered to you. And so I pray that God would move in your heart. And if this is something that you understand, you could leave here forgiven, turning to him, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, recognizing that you're a sinner, and that's a bad thing, and repenting of that, turning to Jesus Christ to save you from that, believing his promises. You know, it takes him working in your heart to help you to believe that he loves you that much, but it's true. God's word says it's true. So let's pray together. Father, we come before you and thank you for your amazing, amazing love. That you created this world and things were good. We messed it up with our sin, and you need to judge sin, Lord God. But you made a way for Jesus to be judged instead of us. And thank you that everyone who turns to Jesus Christ, that the judgment that we deserve has already been poured out on Jesus. And so there's none left that we have to take, Lord God. There's forgiveness instead that we don't deserve, but is given to us as a gift. Lord, help everyone here to believe that, whether it's a kid, whether it's a parent, relative, grandparent, friend. Help us to believe and know that Jesus Christ is the reason that we exist. He loves us so much, and he came to die on the cross after living a perfect life and invites people to turn to him. And he will receive them and forgive them of their sins and give them life and joy in him. And Lord, we thank you for the day when Jesus Christ will return to this world, and he will defeat evil and defeat sin and set everything right. And all the things that are bad won't be anymore, because they'll be judged, they'll be put away, Lord God, and Jesus will be our focus and reign forever and ever and ever. Thank you that we find ourselves in the middle of this true, awesome story, Lord God. It's all about you. And so, Lord, anyone here right now that know you yet, I pray that you're at work in their heart. And maybe even right now, they would pray to you, and if they're ready, to say, Lord God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I have fallen short. There's so many things I've done. I've rebelled against you, and that's bad. But Lord, I come to you now because you've promised to forgive those who turn to you, Lord God. Turn my heart to you. I come to you, Lord God, and I trust Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who died on the cross in my place, and I believe that. Lord, I believe what the Bible says. And I believe what the Spirit is telling to my heart, and I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. So thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for working in my heart. Thank you for taking the judgment that I deserve. I want to live for you out of thankfulness, and I long to see you face to face one day. Lord, we give you praise, and in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.